Good morning. Welcome to Calvary. We're excited that you're here. It's a special day for us. But before we get to that, I just got a couple quick announcements. Next Sunday, right after the morning worship service, I need just 5 minutes of the members of Calvary's time for a quick business meeting, and we'll be out. I just got one item I need you to take care of. 2 weeks from today, we'll be observing the Lord's Supper, so make sure you're a part of that. If you're visiting with us today, you are our special guest, and we are excited that you've chosen to visit with us and worship here. On your bulletin, there's a tab. If you would put your name and email, I'd like to make a connection with you later on. But if you'll fill that out and put it on the offering plate on your way out. This morning, as you see in the bulletin, we are honoring our graduates. We're excited for them. This is a special time of the year. And I want to ask you two guys to come down here. It's Tanner Ritchie and Michael Haver. Have a seat right here. We have a video message for the two of you from us at Calvary. Y'all can come stand up here with me. We're really proud of you, and we're excited for you at this point in your life. We have a gift for you from us. You are about to be missionaries of Calvary Baptist Church. We are sending you out. You have trained up here, and as you leave here, you carry us with you, and we're excited and praying for you. So tell us what's next. What's on the agenda for you? You got college?
All right.
It's easier up there than it is out here, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If most of you don't recognize him, he has spent how many years in that?
I think it's like two now.
Yeah, he's running sound and video, so you don't see him much. But he's here every Sunday.
Yeah. I'm going to UTD.
Okay.
To study computer science.
Awesome.
And then hopefully I'll get an internship later at college.
Awesome.
I'll be attending Navarro College, finishing up my associate, as well as working at Dairy Queen, as most of y'all know. I'll be hopefully assistant manager this summer, so we're waiting on that. And then after that, I'll be pursuing film at Sam Houston State.
Awesome. And I like your colors. That was my colors as graduated, was a red cap and gown. So at this point, what I want to do, I want to ask the parents to come up here because we're going to pray over these guys because they have invested, as y'all know, your whole life into getting to this point and where you can shove them out of the nest and hope they fly and don't. And you might need to. Robert, will you come up here? Because I want a deacon to pray with each one. And we got a deacon over there. He can pray with that one. And I'm going to ask Peggy to lead us in prayer because nobody prays like a mother when you are sending your children out. And so will you lead us in prayer?
Father God, we just pray, Father, for your feathers, your wing to cover these young men as they go out into the world without their parents. Not to say that their parents won't be behind them, but Lord, they're going to be alone a lot of times. They've got to make decisions for themselves. Give them wisdom. Father, enable them to take the knowledge that they have gained so far and the knowledge that they will acquire as they walk a path that you have designed for them. You have saved them. You have redeemed them. You have brought them into a relationship with you. Enable them to be still and to hear your voice. Enable them to stop and to ask you, what should I do? Enable them, Lord, to be obedient to what you command them, to what you tell them to do. enable them to accept the responsibility that you've placed on them as your child. Enable them to be obedient. And I pray, God, that you would use them for your kingdom's sake. Even when they're unaware, that, Lord, you would guide them and lead them and use them to bring others into the kingdom, to become the young men, to become the old men that you want them, that you designed them to become, that their works would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, protect them from the world, from Satan. Protect them, Father. Keep them under your wings. Enable them to fly and to accomplish all that you designed them to be. We pray this in the name of Jesus.
Let's give them a round of applause. We're really proud of you. Thank you, guys. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these young men and what they mean to us as a church and to their families. And Father, we give you these moments. Allow us to worship you and study your word. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we do love you, and we thank you for saving us. And Father, we thank you what your death has given us, and we honor you today. And we pray that as your death gave us freedom, we pray that our lives will be lived for you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. We are continuing our study through the book of James. We are to chapter 3, and this one's going to be a lot of fun, particularly for a few people in here who really need to hear it, but I won't point anybody out. Our tongues are so incredibly powerful, for good or bad. We have to decide how we use them with every word. And as we explore that this morning, let's continue to worship a God whose name is incredibly wonderful and worthy of worship.
Him 153.
Worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory.
Pray with me. Father, we bow before you and pray that the words that we are going to hear will be yours. And that as we study your word, you would open our minds and our hearts, allow us to see more of you. Reveal yourself to us in these moments. Cleanse our hearts and our minds. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. We are headed into James chapter 3. But before we get there, I want you to turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. James chapter 3 is about controlling our tongue. And there was a slide in that bumper that said, we display our faith in how we speak. And an image of you is painted in the minds of people who you encounter. And it's mainly painted by your words, or your lack of words, or your overuse of words. What kind of image do you paint? Proverbs chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 19. If you are going here digitally, pull this up in the New Living Translation. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. For those of you who are trying to decide what your next tattoo is, this might be a good one for some of you. Underline that. Underline this scripture. If you're digitally, highlight it. Sometimes scripture makes me laugh. This one is incredibly accurate and funny at the same time, because it's true. Once a Greek philosopher said, rarely have I ever regretted silence, but often I have regretted my words. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Turn with me to James chapter 3. We're going to dive right into this. James chapter 3. As you're going there, I want to tell you a story about a tombstone in a graveyard, and this is for real. It's in the countryside of England at a small church. It has a small graveyard on rolling hills. And there is the tombstone of Abigail Gordon. On it reads her date of birth and her death, which was May 15th. I don't remember the year. May 15th. Caught my eye because today's May 15th. And it said, on May 15th, Abigail began to control her tongue. Y'all know Abigail, don't you? James chapter 3, we're going to start reading at verse 2. Indeed, we all make mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could control ourselves in every other way. Now think about that for a minute. Of all the things for James to tell us, if we can control our tongues, we would be perfect and could control ourselves in every other way. It speaks volumes to the power of our tongue and our words. Because think about this. Do your words point people towards Christ or away from Him? Has this phrase ever come out of your mouth? Ready? Think about this. You might need to close your eyes and see if it was you. I'm going to give Him a piece of my mind. What came after that? Did it point him toward Christ or away from it? Let's keep going. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by the means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn whenever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. Now, for those of you who grew up in the country, and Robert knows this well, a bit is very small, but it will control an enormous animal. Your tongue is one of the smallest parts of your body, but it will control you if you let it. And so, is what's coming out of your mouth pointing towards people towards Christ or away from them? Now, we joke and laugh about this, and we make light of it, but it is incredibly important, because our tongues will paint a picture of who we are and our faith for those around us. Let's keep going. In the same way, the tongue is small and makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest fire. Think about that. I was watching the news. Did you see this week of these enormous homes in California that are burning to the ground? I mean, these grand mansions are lost over a spark. The words that come out of my mouth can have an enormous impact on those who hear it, for good or evil. Many people have been turned away from church and God forever by the loose tongue of somebody who should have listened to Proverbs more. Verse 6, among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Let that sink in for a minute. Satan loves for a Christian to just run off at the mouth, because it turns people away from Christ. And the smallest of words can have the biggest impact. Have you ever had somebody say something to you and it just replay over and over and over in your head? And you try to come to some understanding of why would they have said that? Why did they say that? Why did they say it that way? We have to be incredibly careful with our words. I want to bring this to you in a funny way. But in 1987, Pope John Paul visited Colombia. And during his visit, there was a guy who was going to capitalize off of his visit. And so he had T-shirts printed. Now, his Spanish obviously wasn't the best. But what he put on the T-shirt, what was La Papa, which was supposed to mean, I saw the Pope. That's El Papa. La Papa means I saw the potato. I saw the potato. Two letters completely changed the meaning. The smallest of words with the best of intent will set ablaze that will send somebody away from Christ. Think on that verse. Verse 5. In the same way the tongue... Verse 6, the end of it. It can set your whole life afire, for it sets on fire by hell itself. Who's controlling your tongue? Because somebody is, and it's either God or Satan. Who are you letting control it? A good tongue should put out fires, not start them. Verse 7, people can tame all kind of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil and full of deadly poison. Now, a lot of people have taken this verse as a get out of jail free so I can say whatever I want. Because the scripture says nobody can control a tongue. What's James trying to convey to us? You do not have the power to control your tongue. That's what he's trying to tell you. But at the same time, he is trying to tell you that God does. So either you're going to let Satan control your words and you're going to set fires everywhere you go, or you're going to let God control it and you're going to put out fires and paint a picture of faith and love for those you come in contact with. Now think about this for a moment. Has anybody ever said something to you in a positive way that changed your entire day? Either given you a compliment or said something about it, you that encouraged you, and it changed your whole day. It's an important reminder of how powerful our words are. And so, what James is painting for us is a picture that our tongues are so incredibly powerful, and you're either going to, as a Christian, because he's talking to Christians. Remember, the Bible is for Christians. So he's not talking to non-Christians. He's talking to people who have accepted Christ. He's talking to us, those of us who have given our lives to Christ. And he's saying, either Satan's controlling your tongue or God is. Because you can't. So who are you yielding that over to? Look at verse 9. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Wow. Does this hit home for anybody? Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. that person who you said, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. That was God's masterpiece. And what did you say to them? Verse 10. And so blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, that's not right. Does a spring of water bubble out of both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. You can't be both. You can't be both. You can't sit in here and praise God and go out there and tell everybody what you think about them. You're one or the other. And the masterpiece that you are painting with your words is either love or hate. James is saying it can't be both. You can't praise God one minute and tell me how bad of a preacher I am the next. Oh, goodness. And he's going to, it seems, change direction, but it's not. Look at verse 13. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it. Prove it. We could stop right there. But he keeps going. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that come from wisdom. Now think about this. If you've accepted Christ and you've given Him your life, what you have got back in return is the Holy Spirit, among other things. But the minute you accepted Christ, you get the Holy Spirit. One of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is wisdom. Now we boil that down to that little small voice that says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And then we go do it anyway. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't do that. Don't do that. And I do it anyway. This is what James is talking about. If you understand God's ways, listen to that voice. Listen to it. I'm going to give you an example of this that in my own life, where a lot of times we chalk this up to a feeling, because we don't know how to describe it any other way. We like to describe the Holy Spirit as a feeling. Because generally you can feel the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is not a feeling. It's moving in you. And it's that voice. It's that power that's within you. A number of years ago, Grant and I took his dog on a walk. We did this almost nightly. But we're walking up the hill, and the Holy Spirit's telling me, turn around. Turn around and go back. And I'm like, so we kept walking. And the Holy Spirit's nagging me, turn around, go back. And I kept walking. Anybody relate to this? I mean, this is a, in comparison to the big scheme of this is a very small issue and matter. But it illustrates for us how what James is talking about here, the wisdom. If you have the wisdom of God, that's the Holy Spirit. Prove it. Listen to it. So we walk up the hill. We get to a corner. We make the turn to go down the hill. And the Holy Spirit's still telling me, turn around. Turn around and go back. And as we walk down the hill, I see way off in the distance a dog. And he's loose and he's wild and he's coming at us. And at that point I said, well, we should turn around. Y'all been there. We should turn around. So we did. The problem is I never looked back. Okay? The next thing I know, that dog had Grant's dog by the neck in his mouth. And I reached to grab it and it bit me. Okay? It's a very small matter. We were both fine. We found the dog's owner. Of course, they didn't have their shots, all that kind of stuff. The funny thing about that is, Misty, we had this teledoc where you call the doctor on the phone. So Misty calls because I'm bleeding and all that. And the teledoc says, you should take him to the rabies center. The rabies center? The who? She found out later he was in Mexico or something. We were fine. It was fine. But it's an ever mindful example of me, for me in my life. Even the small things, God's going to give you wisdom. And many times, it's to keep your mouth shut. You've heard that. You've heard the Spirit say, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Oh, I'm going to stand up. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Oh, I'm going to tell them. The Spirit's telling you, don't say anything. Because you have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in you. And sometimes what you need to do, let's go back to where we started from. Those of y'all who didn't underline it, Proverbs 10:19. I'll write this down for some of you. I'll go to the tattoo parlor with you. Proverbs 19:10. Too much talk leads to sin. Y'all know that. Some of you are living examples of that. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. If you have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in you, prove it by listening to Him. That's what James is telling us about taming the tongue. You don't have the power to do it. You don't. So either God or Satan's going to control your tongue. Which one's it going to be? Remember, he's talking to Christians. Okay? And sometimes we yield our power over to letting Satan do his work. Don't do that. If you have wisdom, you have the Holy Spirit, prove it. And sometimes keep your mouth shut. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your words of wisdom. We thank you that we can laugh at something that is incredibly serious and incredibly powerful. Father, don't let us miss your teachings about how incredibly powerful our tongues are at doing work for you. Father, let us speak love and mercy and grace. Let us paint a picture of your glory with every word we speak. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.